Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today on Hot Grease, as always, we're doing the food headlines with executive producer of all the shows here on HRN, Jack Inslee.
What's up, Nicole?
What's good? What's cracking? What do we have for food headlines?
Well, the time has finally come. The Barclay Center is opening up September 28th.
What's that? The end of the week?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that'd be this weekend. So they're eight sold out.
You sound so excited,
well,
Jack.
You know, I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah, I've been dreading this day. This is the day where everybody gets divided, where I have to have sworn enemies now. Everyone
repping
the Brooklyn
fan.
Nets. Really?
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan, yeah.
Oh, wow. No yeah. Hawks?
Yeah, I like the Hawks, but you know, since I'm in New York, I like the Knicks.
All right, good. Yes,
so what's going on with Barclays Center?
Interesting, though. So it's opening up. There's eight sold out Jay-Z concerts to kick off the arena, and all the food is hyper local. So, you know, this New York Times article came out basically saying instead of M&M's, there's going to be Tumador's peanut butter and jelly chocolate bars and no Haagen-Dazs, but blue marble ice cream baked from Brooklyn.
Baked is going to be there?
It basically reads like the guest list of Hot Grease for the past few years.
Yeah, I saw that Cabana Outpost is going to be there. People love that in Fort Greene. You know what I found? I didn't read this whole thing. I read like a snippet of the article. Franny's, which is on Flatbush, one of my favorite places to get pizzas besides Roberta's. She had a very interesting comment because, you know, some people are pissed about this whole stadium and what have you. She was like, look, you know, it's here to stay. It's coming. Yes, I was asked to be in the spot, but it didn't work for my business. But people just need to deal with it.
Right. Now, I'm wondering how the price points are going to work out because, you know, at Madison Square Garden, you're paying already, what, $12 for the mass produce?
Pete, this. I heard that a lobster roll from Red Hook Lobster Pound, one of my favorite places to get a lobster roll, if you go to the Flea, I've said it on the show before, when they first started out and they were at the Flea, their lobster rolls either used to be $12 or $14. They will be almost $20 at Barclays Center. And they're not the big ones. They're not like the Pearl Oyster Bar. Hmm. They're kind of small.
Well, I mean, would you rather pay almost $20 for something like that or pay $16 for really bad chicken fingers?
I'm an advocate of small business owners and particular people that are doing food stuff. I mean, I feel a certain way about the Barclays Center and some of the things that they promise. But it's here. It is what it is. And I'm happy that they have and they see the value of, you know, the food community and bringing them into the Barclays Center. So I'm going to give them a thumbs up for that.
Okay. You know anybody going to the Jay-Z shows?
I do not.
We'll need somebody to report in.
I'll find out. I don't know anyone.
We will see.
Okay.
So, in other news, apparently, Frommer's lists Lima, Peru, as the top food and drink destination for the year. You know, Wall Street Journal calling Peruvian the next big thing in food. Do you have any experience with Peruvian food, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, there's a great Peruvian restaurant in Atlanta, and Lord, this spot to go through my... I can't even think of it.
Really?
The chef was on, like, Top Chef. Damn, what is his name? It's gonna come to me in a minute. But anyway, yes, Peru, Lima, I do think that's the hottest thing. I really think that Latin cuisine is the biggest thing that's happening. People are really not talking about it, but it's like bubbling to the surface.
Interesting.
What is the name of that place in Atlanta? Oh, man.
We'll have to find out.
I know. I don't know any good Peruvian spots here in New York City and Brooklyn. Maybe our guest on the show later, she may know. Who knows?
So also... Have you tried fried deviled eggs yet? Because I have not, and I've been hearing a bunch about these things.
Oh, okay. I don't know if anyone has, but people went absolutely crazy. Friends of ours, of Adrian and I, this past Friday had a deep fried Fridays.
Yeah, I heard about it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was like doing all these Instagram photos, and folks were going berserk. They actually told folks to bring something to fry. I was really healthy. I brought sweet potatoes.
Okay.
And this great seasoned salt, but... I sat there and watched one of their friends prepare devil eggs to fry them. I was in amazement. She basically did a traditional devil egg recipe, made an egg wash and like put in the egg wash and then breaded it in panko crumbs and fried the freaking devil eggs. It was crazy.
And good?
I'm not a big devil egg person. And I'm here to tell you they were good. Because it's like they fry and then it. The inside, you know, the creamy yolk is not really creamy anymore. It's kind of just a slight consistency of a boiled egg.
Oh.
But people were like, wow, all over social media. Have you had one? Would you try one?
I would try one.
Oh,
I'm not a deviled eggs guy, but as you're describing this, it sounds pretty good.
Okay. It's great, like drunk food, don't you think?
It does sound like good drunk food.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, definitely.
There you have it, Jack.
All right.
Folks, food headlines every week right here on Hot Grease, top of the 30 minutes. Thank you, Jack, so much.
You're welcome.
Listeners, keep listening. Today on Hot Grease, we're going to be talking Becoming Brooklyn and Baking for Friends. We're going to take a short break and come back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese, made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Red Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow, with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And point of origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Today in the studio to talk Becoming Brooklyn, we have Caitlin Helica.
Hekala, actually.
Hekala, the great Finnish word. You know I was going to screw this up, you know.
I know, but...
How many people screw your name up?
Pretty much everybody.
Oh, okay. Damn. I dare to be different. Caitlin, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Becoming Brooklyn, we first have to talk about the day you left Manhattan. You actually are Brooklynite now, but you used to live in Manhattan. Do you remember that day? Was it in the fall?
I did. It was actually in the spring. It was a beautiful day.
Oh, it's a beautiful day. Did you have any? Everyone has that New York story about moving, how it's either like it was so great and easy or it was a complete disaster.
It wasn't really easy, but I was just so happy. I was in Murray Hill and I was in an apartment that was very dark, a lot of mice and birds, and it was just a mess. And I was so excited. I was moving to Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing day, going over the bridge, getting all my stuff. I didn't care about being organized. I was like, I just got to get out.
So you're like 1,000 other people that, well, not 1,000, millions of people who have actually moved, you know, lived somewhere else and moved to New York City. And then there are hundreds of folks, thousands of people who are living in Manhattan that are coming to Brooklyn like every single day. They want, you know, coming over to greener pastures. I have to first ask you about growing up in New Hampshire. How was that, and what qualities do you see in where you grew up in New Hampshire that you see in Brooklyn?
I lived in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is a small town right on the water. So I think that's kind of where my affinity for seafood and kind of locally made products comes from, because it's one of those small liberal towns in New Hampshire, you know.
Yeah, and that's gotten a ton of buzz over the last few years. I remember when I first met you, when you told me you were from there, I went crazy. I called it Portsmouth, but it's Portsmouth, because they've been like voted like, you know, the best small foodie town. There are a few food trucks that actually mention some of the vendors that are there. So would you say the food cuisine there is definitely lobster rolls and Bloody Marys.
It's a definitely a lot of seafood for sure. You know, since it is right on the water, it's a great place to get lobster rolls and fresh fish and that kind of thing. But it's actually, there's a variety of different restaurants there now, even though it's such a small town.
Speaking of towns, I think I follow you on Instagram and I saw you're in Puerto Rico. How was that? How was that trip?
Oh, it was so nice. It was great to just sit on the beach and relax. And I kind of went there with this mission to not have the touristy experience, which it's kind of impossible being that, you know, they kind of cater to American tourists. But I actually had a few wins. I got to go to this one restaurant called La Casita Blanca, which is this kind of little white house, as you could tell by the name, and have really authentic Puerto Rican food, mofongo, which was amazing, and they didn't speak any English, but I was really into it. I kind of went back to my Spanish classes in college and pulled some food words out.
Speaking of words, you started almost 3 years ago the very, I like to say, very popular and informative blog called Becoming Brooklyn. What made you start a blog all about your journey from Manhattan to Brooklyn?
Well, you know, I love Brooklyn, and it made me really excited. And I just have to share. I could talk to anybody forever about the food in Brooklyn, and I think it's just really exciting how many new restaurants and new stores and events and everything that's happening. It's just too much to not share.
I think we have to tell folks who are listening or just tuned in to Hot Grease via HeritageRadioNetwork.org live. Becoming Brooklyn is not only about food. I do feel like you do a lot of food stuff.
I do. I try not to make it all about food, but it's very hard for me.
I know. I know. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get more into what's on Caitlin's blog. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network after the music break. Welcome back to Hot Grease via Heritage Radio Network. You can check our program schedule and show archives on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. You can go right there, go to the top box, put in Hot Grease. You can get all 120 episodes right there at your computer or your MP3 player. So, folks, if you're looking for the real deal content of all things Brooklyn, Caitlin H. of Becoming Brooklyn is your girl. So, Caitlin, I have to get into, you know, how you decide who and what to feature on Becoming Brooklyn. We talked a little bit before about it's just not all food stuff.
No, it's not all food stuff, but it's really just whatever kind of excites me at the moment. I'm not there to be, you know, a food critic. I'm not there to kind of poo-poo about my restaurant experiences. I'm very positive, and I always write about restaurants and small businesses and events that I just think are fun. And that's really what it's
about. But you do have influence. I think sometimes bloggers, you know, regardless if they're all writing about, you know, roses or, you know, being just crazy and going off on people, there is an amount of influence that you have, because I've gone and people are like, oh yeah, Becoming Brooklyn, they eat here, or people see you check in or they write about you all the time. Do you have a list of places and things that you would like to write about, and or do folks send you stuff saying, hey, I'm opening a new, I have this new product. It's, you know, a belt or something that has a Brooklyn outline.
For sure. I think it's a combination. I have a ever-growing list that I add to by, I read a lot. I'm on Eater and Serious Eats and, you know, Grub Street, all of those all the time, kind of checking out what the latest openings are. I also get approached by places, you know, asking me to come by, and sometimes I do. But it's really just kind of whatever I stumble across in a way.
Cool. So recent eats, we're going to talk food stuff because this is a food show.
Good.
Your recent eats in Brooklyn. What's on your list? I know every time I see you, you ask me where I've eaten before.
I know, I do. Well, actually, I went to the Lobster Joint in Greenpoint. I don't
love
know if
that
you've
place
been there.
Yes.
Yes, I am so pumped that I could find a place that includes Bloody Marys, which is, as you probably know, one of my favorite drinks ever, and then lobster. There's actually a lobster claw sitting right on top of the Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I've been twice. The only thing, the only drawback is not the food.
You always have a drawback, don't you?
I mean, hey, I keep it, I don't keep it all rosy all the time, okay?
I know.
It's the damn how to get there.
Yeah,
it's the food is great. I mean, this, we're talking about the Lobster Joint. It is a great lobster shack, for lack of better words. It's in Greenpoint, which is a part of Brooklyn, but it's kind of, it seems kind of far to me.
It is. It's kind of a journey, but I think it's worth it.
It is worth it. Where else have you gone lately besides?
I went to Governor. Have you been to Governor yet?
Haven't been to Governor.
Oh, you should go.
Governor,
it's
owned by the same people as Colony, right?
Yeah, Colony and Grand Electrica. It's in Dumbo. And I went for my birthday recently, actually. And I got the cod fish tails, I believe they were, and they were fried. And I didn't really know what to expect, but they were a lot like chicken fingers almost, or fish sticks or something kind of meaty. And I didn't expect that at all, but it was very good. Amazing cocktails. I think if you go for anything, the cocktails.
Go for the cocktails? Oh, yeah. So I have to ask you, speaking of cocktails, what I love about your blog, and I'm sure you get this all the time, people realize that you live in Brooklyn or you're talking and you say you have a blog, they're like, oh, where's the best place I can get fill in the blank?
Exactly.
And you have a series on your website. You've done pancakes, you've done sushi, you've done cocktails. So I'm going to go down the list of two. Sushi, because we were just talking about sushi before we got on air. Just give me just one or two places you say the best places to get sushi.
I recently went to Kyoto Sushi, which is on Smith Street.
Okay.
And it's not anything fancy, but, you know, they just do it right. And I think that's really what the most important thing about sushi is, that it's just fresh and simple and easy.
Yeah, I need to really review your list and put that in my list, all the sushi places, because I haven't really found one in Brooklyn.
You don't have a favorite?
I don't. I can't think. I'm not a big sushi person, but when I find a good sushi spot, I'll go to it and wear it out. Mm-hmm. I just don't even think about sushi that much. I'm sorry. I go to Whole Foods. This is so sad. Shout out to Whole Foods, who's the sponsor of today's show. It's crazy, but I love Whole Foods sushi.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever had it.
It's good. The brown rice, you know, sushi that they have at Whole Foods. You know, the sushi, I mean, Whole Foods is coming to Brooklyn.
I heard. Yes. I'm very excited, actually.
There you go. And lastly, what would you say in terms of pancakes?
I love seersucker. I'm always touting seersucker about everything.
Love them. Yeah.
Everything. Their brunch, their dinner, their drinks. I can't say enough good things. And Carrie and Rob, who are the chef and the owners there, are so nice too.
Love Rob. He's been here on Hot Grease before. Speaking of good things and good people, you're doing something really great. This week you are hosting Brooklyn Trivia Takedown. But what I love about this and the events that you've done the last few months have been all connected to the Pink Agenda. Tell me more.
Yes, I am crazy, and I'm running the New York Marathon in November, and I'm doing it for a charity, the Pink Agenda, which is a breast cancer awareness and research charity. My grandmother died of breast cancer a few years ago, so I'm running in her name, and so I'm raising $3,000 before the race. And so I'm doing kind of a series of events, including the one on Wednesday at 61 Local, 7 to 9 p.m. And we're going to do some trivia, and we're going to drink beer. And, you know, the one thing I'm having trouble with is a lot of people feel pressure.
Oh, really?
A lot of people I talk to, I'm like, oh, you know, come down. We're going to do some trivia, drink, whatever. And they feel a little pressure.
So what kind of trivia? Give me a sample question folks have to answer.
Okay, let's see.
Is it Brooklyn history stuff? Is it food
it's
stuff?
Brooklyn history, Brooklyn restaurants.
Okay.
Okay. So what owner of a pizza place in Brooklyn recently went bankrupt?
Oh, I have no idea on
that
one.
It's kind of sad.
I don't know.
Well, I don't want to give the answer away.
Okay, so something like that. So it's people who probably are just, they read a lot.
Yes.
So they're tuned in to all the local Brooklyn papers or blogs or what have you.
Exactly.
They would know. All right. So is this a donation or do people pay $5, $10? How is it set up for the trivia night?
It's free. And 61 Local will be making a donation after the event.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Good for you. And between now and November, beyond the Brooklyn Trivia takedown, are you doing another event?
I am doing another event in October, but it is not connected to my charity. Okay. So I'll have to keep you posted on that.
Okay, we'll do. Well, Caitlin, thank you for stopping by Hot Grease. Folks who are on social media can find you. You're actually on Facebook and Twitter under...
I am under Becoming Brooklyn. My Twitter is Becoming and then BKLYN.
There you have it. So, folks, if you're listening, you're not in Brooklyn. And I know I have tons of folks who listen to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. And you want to stay in the know of what's happening in the BK. Go to Becoming Brooklyn. And stick around on Hot Grease. We're going to be talking more food. Thanks so much, Caitlin. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Hot Grease is produced by myself and Jack Inslee. I'm being engineered today by Joe G. Let me first give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, my favorite segment on Hot Grease, the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the food world. Today, Kathleen King dishes on baking for friends. Kathleen, welcome to Hot Grease.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Kathleen is the owner and founder of the famous and accredited Tate's Bake Shop based in Southampton, New York. And her latest book is titled Baking for Friends. So, Kathleen, you're going to give us five things that we need to consider, remember, and do when we're baking for friends. What would you say is number five on the list?
Number five as being the most important for the...
Just number five as we're counting down to one, not in any order.
Okay, great. I think the main thing is to know what your friend likes.
Huh, so that means do they like nuts or if they're into chocolate. So that gives you an idea if you should make cookies, should you make a loaf, should you make a cake, or...
Exactly. And then the next thing would be, you know, how many are in their family? You know, sometimes if it's just one person, you don't want to overwhelm them with too much. So sometimes it's like a simple, like just a few muffins or, you know, a nice five-pack of cookies or, you know, a couple brownies. You don't want to give a big 9-inch cake unless you know your friend is having guests that weekend or something like that.
So number five on the list, you said know what your friends like. And number four is know how many people that you're baking for. Before we move to number three, I'll have to say you just mentioned cookies. In your new book, you have several cookie recipes. But I must say I am a fan of your cookies that I find all over Brooklyn in my favorite corner store or even my favorite gourmet market. So I know people want to get the book, but if you're in Brooklyn, if you're in the Northeast, they can find you everywhere. Wouldn't you say so, Kathleen? Almost everywhere.
I hope so.
Almost everywhere. So number three on your baking for friends list, what is the third thing people should know when they're baking for friends?
If your friend has any diet restrictions, allergies, or if they're on a diet, try not to be a food pusher, and baked goods are supposed to bring happiness and joy. So if you know your friend is, you know, really trying, like maybe whether it's a weight loss or whether they have, you know, gluten-free or whether they're vegan, it's really appreciative to respect all of that. And if you want to give your friend give her something vegan or give her something, he or she rather, gluten-free, I mean, they'd really appreciate that. Because not only that, it shows that you're listening and you know and you care.
And your new book actually has quite a few gluten-free or allergy-free, if the people are allergic to nuts, recipes, your book, Baking for Friends. I have to ask you a question about the diet thing. Should you or could you just make some desserts, even if someone is not on a diet? That's kind of like a... That's an interesting conversation to have with someone, huh?
Should you make desserts if somebody is on a diet?
I guess I'm saying, I guess if it's a close friend, you'll already know, what they're planning on. But I'm just saying, baking, your advice on baking low-fat or diet-friendly desserts. Would you do it just because? Or should you do it just because?
I'm not quite sure I understand your question. You mean you just bake it for somebody if they're on a diet or just bake low-fat in general?
Yeah, just your thoughts on baking low-fat in general.
No. I mean, you know, if you're going to bake and you're going to make great treats, you know, I love, you know, whipped cream and butter and sugar and all that great stuff. You know, I myself, if I were to be on a diet, I would eat an apple.
Gotcha.
But if I eat cake, I want real cake with real stuff.
Like gotcha.
Stuff.
So number two on the Baking for Friends Hot 5 Edition with Kathleen King. What do we have for number two?
I like the unexpected. You know, when so often if I make something and I think of a friend of mine that likes a particular thing, I like to wrap it up and put it into their mailbox on my way to work and just send them a text. You know, there's a treat in your mailbox.
Great.
You know, because the unexpected, it gives you that little bit of joy and that little bit of fun. And you know, like one time I got a text back from one of my friends. I left him, you know, just two warm blueberry muffins in his mailbox, and he texted me back, and he was like, did anyone tell you I love you today yet?
What a great idea.
It's just really sweet and great and fun, and the unexpected is always really fun for everybody.
Love that idea. And number one on the Hot 5 Baking for Friends edition.
I would say to keep it simple. You know, your friends are not judging you. They're not looking at whether the cake is perfectly even or the brownie corner broke. You know, to just keep things simple, like a great chocolate chip cookie is quite simple to make, but it brings so much joy to people. And so you don't have to spend all day. You don't have to say, oh, my God, I don't have time. Because it really, if you keep it simple and do it well, all your friends will appreciate it no matter what effort they thought you might have put into it.
I love it. Perfect tips. Kathleen, thank you so much for dropping by our Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. If folks are listening and they want to find out more about your products and or new books, they can find you on Twitter and via the World Wide Web at Tate's Bake Shop.
That's correct. Thank you so much for having me, Nicole.
Thank you so much. Have a good week.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. Listeners, thanks for so much for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.